This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. The University of Massachusetts has a new president. Marty Meehan takes over today as the 27th president of the public university system.
Meehan has been chancellor of UMass Lowell for the last 8 years. He's also a former congressman. And Marty Meehan joins us now to talk about the UMass system. Thanks for coming in, and congratulations on your first day as president.
Thank you very much, Meghna. Great to join you and Anthony here.
Well, listeners, we'll be taking your calls as well. So if you've got a question for President Meehan, let us know at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. There's a lot to discuss about the future of UMass, about the cost of a college education, and maybe some things you'd like to see Marty Meehan do as head of the state's public university system. Again, the phone number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So, Marty Meehan, it's day one for you as president of the UMass system, and I understand you had a roundtable with some UMass Boston students earlier today. Why was that important to you?
Well, because I think UMass Boston, and I look at the diversity of the community, the way it's growing. They have the highest number of international students. They're the most diverse campus in terms of backgrounds. And I just want to meet with students on my first day because I'm the first undergraduate of UMass to ever become the president. Uh-huh. And I have a passion for people who walk through our doors, many of them at UMass Boston, first-generation college graduates. My sisters and I were first-generation college graduates. So it means a lot to me to interact with students. And one of the challenges with the job as president is you don't actually run a campus, so there's less interaction with faculty and students. And Right. One of the things I've determined to do is interact with faculty and students as much as I can.
Why is that important
because
to you?
I think it's really important for any kind of leadership at a higher education institution to be in touch with students and faculty. Universities are all about faculty and students and the interaction that takes place. Every year that I've been at, every semester at Lowell, I've taught a course in the Congress. Now, I'm pretty busy doing a lot of different things. Why do I teach a course in the Congress? Because it keeps me in touch with students. I get to ask them about their experience at the university. Faculty like the fact that I'm teaching a course, which shows I'm plugged into what they're dealing with day in and day out. So in this job, I want to make sure I don't lose that connection with students that are on the five campuses or the faculty.
So was there anything that the UMass Boston students told you today that surprised you?
No, not really surprised me, because I know the demographics of the students. I know where they come from, and I know that the selectivity is going up. Really bright, capable students, students from Queens, New York, a student from two students from Tampa Bay, Florida, a wonderful young woman from China, students from all across right. Massachusetts, and they asked a lot of really smart, great questions.
Okay, did any of them complain that it's getting more expensive to go to UMass?
They did, but they're also interested in finding a way to develop a sustainable financial model. But the other interesting thing is they don't want to compromise on quality either.
Right.
And that's a really good point. What's interesting is if you look at a UMass education over the last 30 years, and if you factor in inflation and look at the cost of that education, you'll see that it's actually remained about the same. What has shifted over the last 30 years is who pays for it. It's gone from 88% the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to
when,
about—
When you were a UMass student.
When I was a UMass student to about— That's why I use that 30-year number. to about, 23%. Now, so the burden has shifted from the Commonwealth to students and their families, and that's part of the challenge. But I will say this, if you look at the last three decades, the cost of private education has gone up significantly more than what a UMass education has.
Right.
So we need to do whatever we can to try to keep costs down. What I identify with is, as a student at UMass Lowell, when I attended, I could work couple of nights a week, weekends, and summers, and pay for my education. Today, that is nearly impossible to do. So that's part of the challenge.
Right. Well, Marty Meehan, so there's a lot to talk about, but let's kind of dive a little deeper into this cost question, because it's like one of the number one issues on the minds of students and their families. I mean, it was, just a couple of weeks ago that the UMass Board of Trustees voted to raise fees 5% for in-state undergrads, and they said it was unavoidable without further state funding. But I listened to how you just described what your experience as a student was and why that's so powerful, especially as having been a graduate of of a state system, because I mean, I feel like that's one of the purposes of a system like UMass, to allow access and opportunity for students, no matter what your economic background is.
That's right.
To then, you know, vault you into becoming the next Marty Meehan, for example.
Right.
But if you're coming out of a 4-year experience at UMass now and you do have debt, possibly, you know, more than you would like, isn't it going to be tougher for students to go on to become the next Marty Meehan?
It is a challenge, and it represents a huge challenge. And I think of even the private institutions where I got a master's degree and a law degree, I actually was able to work during that period of time in order to pay for my education, too. A couple of things that we need to think about. One is I've been developing with some community colleges a 4-year degree that would cost $30,000. In other words, a student would do 2 years at a community college and 2 years at one of the UMass campuses, and there could be a set $30,000 price for that student. Governor Baker has been talking about 3-year degrees, and there may be some instances where 3-year degrees are appropriate for students. UMass Amherst and UMass Lowell have developed 3-year degrees, and I know they're talking about doing it at Boston as well. That's another way we could potentially cut the cost. The other thing that we need to think about is efficiencies and where to save money wherever we can, utilizing a 5-campus system to cut utility costs, to cut procurement costs, for example. And we have, over the last few years, saved millions of dollars in order to do that. The interesting thing about student debt, though, is if you add up the student debt for those students who go to private institutions, then you look at students who go to public institutions outside of their home states, which means they're paying out-of-state
tuition,
which is
right.
significantly more. And then you look at the students who attend in-state universities across the country. The debt is significantly lower. And I'm not saying that I'm satisfied with our inability to get student debt down, but it's significantly better and lower at UMass than for in-state students than it is for any other category.
I take your point. I take your point, but I keep coming back to this, you know, what you said a little earlier, that now the state basically only covers 23%, 20-ish percent, whereas they used to cover 88% when you were a student. And while the overall debt for an average UMass student might be lower now, I just feel like, is it fair to say that UMass might have a special responsibility because, you know, it should be the place where students of, you know, even the most humble socioeconomic background have a chance?
Well, I think it's UMass's responsibility and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts' responsibility.
Overall.
I made the point that the true cost of UMass education, not what students pay for it, but the cost of the education itself has actually stayed about the same over the last 3 decades, and what has shifted is who pays for it. So I think as we get into better economic times at the state, part of my job is to be an advocate for the University of Massachusetts and to advocate for more state funding. As part of that process, I'm also going to say that we intend to be accountable. Measure us in terms of our graduation rates, measure us in terms of student success rates, measure us in terms of our ability to raise private funds to provide more scholarships for students. The other thing that's important is we need to continue to raise more private funds so that the sticker price of attending UMass is not actually the price, but rather it's a price that some students may pay, but we need to provide more scholarships and student aid for students so that we are totally accessible. But sure, I think all of public higher education in Massachusetts has a unique responsibility. But at the same time, it's also important to point out that political leadership in Massachusetts over the last 3 decades has viewed public higher education as a safety net for those who either aren't smart enough or don't have enough money to go to private institutions. Well, the fact of the matter is today, public higher education, UMass in particular, we're educating the workforce of Massachusetts. Massachusetts is an innovation economy, and you have to have a highly skilled workforce if you want that innovation economy to grow. We're the engine that drives social mobility and the engine that drives economic development. So I think that UMass is worth investing in.
So how do you drive that message home then to legislators on Beacon Hill? I mean, I'm seeing that our current Secretary of Education said that UMass needs to do more to find cost reductions and savings, but at the same time, the system as a whole has about just under 20% of UMass's budget comes from the state.
Right, which is interesting because you think of the University of Massachusetts as a state-funded institution, when in truth, I think the figure campus-wide is about 19% of the funding that actually comes from the state. So we need to be competitive in terms of cutting costs, but it's interesting. If you look at the last 3 years, you mentioned the 5% increase, but the 2 years prior to that, there was no increase.
Right.
So it comes out to about a 1.6% increase for UMass. Compare that with the public universities, you'd be hard-pressed. Nearly all of them have increased over the last 3 years higher than that percentage. Sometimes the University of Massachusetts gets all the attention whenever they increase fees, but the fact is most of the public universities in Massachusetts have increased over the last 3 years far above that 1.6% per year. Mm. That's not to say that we're not going to continue to advocate and try to cut cost. This has been a trend all over the country, though, where public states are cutting back on public higher education. I think all of us in higher education have to advocate, yes, for cost savings, efficiencies wherever we can, but also for the state to also play its role in providing a subsidized education.
So getting back to what you were saying earlier, I mean, I thought it was really interesting that basically you're asking legislators, lawmakers to change their mindset, not see UMass as a safety net, but rather as an engine.
Yes, that's right? Exactly right.
So how, I mean, say you were sitting across from our Secretary of Education or you know, anyone in the Baker administration or anyone on Beacon Hill, what would you tell them?
Well, first of all, UMass is a public research institution. And research institution, it costs more to be a research institution. But think about it. We're a very close third to Harvard and MIT in terms of research funding. We do over $615 million a year in research. Well, what is research? Research is actually discovering new technologies that will create new companies, more job opportunities, research that creates all kinds of cures to diseases. Our research is playing a significant role at our medical school in healthcare all around the world. So I think the fact that we're a research institution, that research that focuses on making society a better place, making Massachusetts a more competitive place, I think that's worth the investment.
Okay, so I pretend I'm Charlie Baker here. I'm Governor Baker. I'm looking at the bottom line, and I'm saying UMass has requested $578 million in state funding. But, you know, Marty, we've got a $1.8 billion budget shortfall for the state next year.
Well, it's a challenge.
How do you make the two meet?
Well, that's part of the challenge, and I think we need the economy of the state to revenue to come up. But I think when revenue comes up, that's the opportunity to give a larger subsidy to students that attend the University of Massachusetts. What's interesting is I mentioned the comparisons with the other public universities over the last 3 years. We had this 50-50 where 2 years in a row we kept fees even. But what happened in the second year of 50-50, there were what are called 9C budget cuts during the middle of the fiscal year. Well, if you get your budget cut in the middle of a fiscal year, you can't tell students you've accepted, sorry, but we can't accept you anymore. Just as right now, I guess the University of Massachusetts potentially could cut some money before September rolls around, but we've already admitted a freshman class. Should we say to those, some of the people we've admitted, I'm sorry, but you can't come to UMass. We're going to cut the budget. You're going to have to go to private universities and pay two and three times as much money because we have a budget cut. So it's balancing these types of things. Right. It's a challenge that all the chancellors that run the campuses face.
We are speaking to Marty Meehan. Today is his first day as president of the UMass system as a whole. You can ask him any question you'd like at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And we've got callers who'd like to speak with you, President Meehan, so let's let them into this conversation.
Great.
Zach is calling from Medford. You're on the air, Zach.
Hi, President Meehan.
Hi, Zach.
Congratulations on your first day.
Thank you very much. You can call me Marty, too.
Marty, great. I just graduated from UMass in May, UMass Amherst,
yep.
And I'm a member of the group who's been lobbying the legislature's conference committee to get the maximum state funding for UMass.
Yes.
I know we've spoken in a couple trustee meetings.
Yes, we have, and thank you for that, too, because our alums and our students play a critical role in the advocacy for the University of Massachusetts.
Great. I'm happy to do it. My question kind of echoes what Meghna was saying. You know, there's several studies that show that Massachusetts has underfunded public higher education by 30% since 2000. So, you know, how would you specifically lobby the legislature to bring state funding to a sustainable level?
Well, I think making the connection between how much money that the state provides and what happens to tuition and fees, that's an important component of it. I think making the argument, as I mentioned earlier, UMass is a research engine that drives the economy of Massachusetts, making those arguments. But also, you mentioned the comparisons with other states. The fact of the matter is that Massachusetts has historically underfunded public higher education. And the arguments that I make to legislators is there was a time when a lot of the private institutions, the elite private institutions in Massachusetts, did a great job of educating the workforce of Massachusetts. But if you look at the students that come into Massachusetts in our private institutions, increasingly there is a smaller and smaller percentage of Massachusetts residents who go to the private institutions. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it is a very risky proposition if we don't have a world-class UMass to make up that gap. You look at Tufts University, great university, but increasingly fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer people from Massachusetts are going to Tufts, BU, BC, Harvard, MIT. All of those institutions, even the non-elite institutions, are increasingly taking more students from outside of Massachusetts. That's what their business model is. So the fact is, we can't have a robust economy. We can't grow the economy of this state without a world-class UMass being here and a vital part of the economy. And I think I've known Governor Baker for a number of years. He gets that. He has his own family scholarship for UMass graduates that he has contributed to for years. So I think he gets that. And I think the key in terms of the caller is we need the economy of this state to continue to get better. The increase in revenue, we need to passionately make an argument that a portion of that increase in revenue needs to be reinvested in the University of Massachusetts.
But Marty, let me ask you, I mean, maybe this is not appropriate, but I'm going to do it anyway. I mean, you're a UMass graduate.
Okay.
Doesn't it kind of bother you that there's this still sort of divide between how people in Massachusetts think about the so-called elite schools versus how they think about UMass?
It does more than bother me. It makes me angry, if the truth be known. But my job is to be the head of the it rubs against the grain of what the best thing for Massachusetts is, and it undermines in many ways the quality of our students, the quality of the research, the return on investment. Let's talk about return on investment. I would challenge anyone to compare the return on investment of any of our campuses at UMass and compare them with other private institutions. Consistently, we rank among the highest around the country of universities, public and private, on return on investment. Why? Because many of our students get experiential learning opportunities, co-ops, internships. They work part-time in the field that they're studying, and they're qualified for jobs when they leave. They have a work ethic that companies in Massachusetts and beyond are looking for. So I really think that that we are underestimated in undervalued in Massachusetts in many sectors, and part of my responsibility is to try to change that attitude.
Zach, thanks so much for your call. Let's go to Ian, who's calling from Cambridge. You're on the air, Ian.
Hello, Mr. President.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I wonder if you would consider following the lead of Boston University and getting rid of the UMass football program. They tried to move up a division. Very few people care. It costs a lot of money.
Yeah, everything is obviously on the table. UMass Amherst has, and that comes under the purview of the chancellor at Amherst, but it is something that I have committed that I would work with him on. They're in a trial period of going up a division in football. It's a challenge, and it's something that I will be working with the Amherst campus. Attendance needs to be up. Revenue needs to come up in order to support these programs. I can tell you that when I was at Lowell had has a Division I hockey team, and there was a discussion about whether or not Lowell should leave Hockey East and leave Division I in hockey. And we made a determination that we would keep it, but we would work at it and work at the revenue, work at attendance. And our hockey program now breaks about even. And we have won, BU won last year, but 2 years in a row, UMass Lowell won Hockey East. Our attendance is 12th in the country. We went to the Frozen Four 3 years ago. We were covered in newspapers across the country. It was consistent with our strategic plan to enhance the reputation of the institution, to enhance the visibility. So in that instance, and I realize it's a different sport.
Right.
I follow these sports, and I could tell you that if Lowell had football, we would have not gone to Division One. So it's a challenge that I'm going to watch closely. I'm an entrepreneurial type leader. I'm looking for ways to increase revenue from private sources, and I will be working with the chancellor in Amherst on that challenge.
So, Ian, you've actually given me the perfect segue to ask about the Olympics, because UMass could be part
of... Ian's question was a great question, too.
Thanks so much for your call, Ian. I mean, UMass could be part of hosting the Summer Olympics in 2024 if Boston is chosen, and obviously that's a giant if. But there's a proposal to have the Athletes' Village at Columbia Point, and that could be converted to house 2,700 students from UMass Boston, retail, housing space, etc. I mean, how do you see UMass participating in the Olympics? Do you want that?
Well, there are all kinds of possibilities for UMass to participate. The Olympics, if Boston were to get the Olympics, it would provide national and international attention to the extent that there were games that were played on any of our campuses, and there's a proposal for UMass Dartmouth, potentially UMass Lowell, as well as UMass Boston. So I think there's enormous potential. I was encouraged by BID 2.0. Mm-hmm. I think that they're getting their act together in terms of what the Olympics could potentially mean, significant construction jobs leading up to the games, and it could be a benefit to UMass as a whole. Athletes have to come 3 weeks early, at least 3 weeks early. We could have athletes that come to UMass Amherst, UMass Dartmouth, UMass Lowell, as well as Boston. Now, there's a potential for a public-private partnership with housing in Boston. UMass Boston doesn't presently have its own housing, and great public research universities all have their own housing. The reason why universities want housing is because they have academic programming as part of that housing that increases student graduation rates, increases student success rates. So I think there's a potential there to have housing for Boston and get it at a I don't want to say a cheaper price, but get it for fewer dollars.
So it sounds like you like the idea.
I certainly like the idea of providing housing that's affordable for students at UMass Boston. I hear people talk about they want graduation rates and student success rates to increase. Well, the data is overwhelming. You need to have housing on campuses in order to get students so they're part of a cohort of students. They study together. They work together.
But would you want any guarantees or promises in return from Boston 2024? Because there's a possibility that, you know, like universities could be stuck with, you know, a development that they don't like or a part of a bill that they can't
that,
pay.
That will not happen in this instance. We are presently in discussions with the Olympic Committee Boston 2024. It has to be financially, it has to make sense to UMass Boston in order to do it. And it has to be the amount of housing that we actually know that we can use. So and also has to be designed a certain way. I'm a big believer in learning communities in dormitories and housing in universities. So we need space to study. We need space to get students engaged with faculty mentors. And we need to make sure that it's in the interest of students. We would never agree to a deal that wasn't in the interest of students.
We've just got about a minute left to go, and I know that this is day one of your new time on the job, and we look forward to having you back on the show frequently as things progress. But I have heard you say in the past or read that you've said that being president of UMass is a dream job for you. Why is that?
Well, because I believe, you know, it's funny, when I left Congress, people say, you must really miss being in Congress, having such an opportunity to make a difference. I could make an argument that coming to UMass Lowell and now being the system head, you can have a much more profound impact on individual lives to the extent that men and women who walk through the doors of the University of Massachusetts, we have an opportunity to provide them with an education that will allow them to achieve their full potential in life. I don't know what could be more important than that. In many ways, I feel that all the experiences I've had in my career have led up to this job at this point in time. It's the only job I would want. I don't want another job, and I'm looking forward to elevating all the five campuses at UMass and making it the best public university in America.
Well, Marty Meehan is the first UMass graduate to become president of the UMass system. Today's his first day on the job, and thank you so much for joining us.
Magna, thank you very much.
Well, stay with us. Coming up, we'll hear from a young woman who gave birth during her senior year and then went on to become her high school valedictorian. I'm Magna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.